And good morning to each one of you. This is the Lord's Day. And on the Lord's Day, the Lord's people come together to eat the Lord's Supper. For these next few moments, we need to just dismiss from our minds any of the cares of the world, whether it's something at school, something at work, something in politics, the weather, or the race car today. We're here to worship our God. We have several that are visiting with us, and I'm especially thankful for that. You honor us. I have to remember which one of these buttons I'm supposed to push now. It wasn't that one. There we go. We're going to use that theme, come to the table. I love my God, and I love studying His good book. And as I read the Bible, there are so many stories that I learn a lot about, but then there are some of the stories that I still sort of scratch my head and have a question. And I want to say this in the very beginning. There are some questions that I'm never able to answer, but there are some answers that I cannot question. I mean, I know that there is a God. I know that Jesus was the Son of God. I know that Jesus was born of a virgin. I know that He was crucified. I know that He was resurrected. And in this lesson today, we're going to look at one of those stories where that I do have a few questions. Now, in John chapter 5, Jesus had performed a miracle with this crippled man down by the pool of Siloam. Then when we move into chapter 6, see, the fact that Jesus is the miracle worker, word has spread rapidly. Everybody wants to see. Everybody wants to hear about Jesus now. And so out on this mountain, John chapter 6 says that there's 5,000 men. Now see, immediately a question pops up. Well, how many women were there and how many children were there? We often talk about Jesus performing this miracle of feeding 5,000 people. No, it says He fed 5,000 men, plus the women and the children. Now see, when He saw this big multitude, He asked the apostles, do we have enough money to run into town and buy some food? Well, no, we have only about a month's salary. That's not enough money to feed this many people. Well, what are we going to do? Well, there's a little boy over here with his lunch with him. And you know the story, I hope, that Jesus took that little boy's lunch and then He was able to divide it to where that He fed this big multitude, 5,000 men plus the women and the children, and they ate more than they would have eaten if they'd been at Swisher's big party. They were filled. And then after eating all of that, they said, we'll gather up the leftovers. And there were 12 baskets full. People were filled, and they were in awe that this miracle had performed. And then the apostles got on the boat, and they crossed then from Tiberias, they crossed across the Sea of Galilee, and they went over to Capernaum. Jesus wasn't on the boat with them. They left without Him. But how did He get over to Capernaum? He walked on the water. And then the next day, according to continue reading in John chapter 6, on the next day, those that had remained over here where the miracle had been, these boats go back and forth, even still to this day. I've ridden the boat from Tiberias over to Capernaum. And these boats go back and forth, and so finally the people over here where the miracle had taken place, they went over to Capernaum and said, Jesus, how do you get here? And why are you here? Well, Jesus knew their heart. He knew their attitude. You enjoyed the food that I provided for you over there. You come over here thinking I'm another Houdini, that you're just wanting another miracle that's going to be performed. You see, He says there in that last verse, you're wanting a sign. Now, Jesus is speaking to the people here at Tiberias that had been in that miracle over there on the mountain. He had just fed them. I wonder how many of them are saying, Jesus, feed us again. How many of them are saying, Jesus, give us another miracle. And Jesus says, I know that you want seconds, but I have something better for you. Now, their mouths might have been watering by now. Wow. He took that little boy's lunch and he fed 5,000 men, and now he says he's got something better for us? Now, you see, the sad thing is that they are thinking only of the physical. And Jesus says, it's me. Oh, what a letdown that must have been for some of these people. See, they might have been wanting a big steak. They wanted a big salad. They wanted more bread, more fish. And what a letdown this might have been. They aren't getting the picture. They don't understand the point. Now, I want to interrupt myself right now and ask us before we are later going to have this bread and this juice. Do we get the point? See, Jesus says in verse 27, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which is the Son of Man. Do we understand that point? Jesus announces the main course. That bread that I used, that fish that you ate, that was just the appetizer. That was physical. Now it's time for the main course. Is that, you see, they're not yet understanding. They're not yet understanding who Jesus is and what He could do for them. Now, this is not like Dracula saying, I'd like to have you for lunch. Now, when He talks about drinking the blood and eating the flesh, back in the first century, when Christianity was brand new, there were people trying to destroy Christianity in the very beginning. And the charge that they made, two charges. Number one, they said, they must be cannibals eating flesh and drinking blood. And then second, they must practice incest because they call each other brothers, but they talk about kissing each other. Those were lies that were told in the first century trying to stop the growth of Christianity. But Jesus wants us to know what we are doing and why we are doing it. In the Old Testament, Psalms 34, verse 8, O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Bread sustains life. And His body is the bread. So we must trust in the sacrifice that was made by that broken body. Another Old Testament passage in Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. Blood is life. And when Jesus' blood was shed, His life was being poured out for me. For you. We deserved to die. Because of our sin, we deserved to go to hell. But when we look at the New Testament, we see how much that Jesus loved us. And that His life was being poured out. And all who kneel at the foot of the cross, when we repent of our sins, when we confess our faith in Christ, when we're baptized for the remission of our sins, God adopts us. Isn't that a beautiful sound? See, the picture is that I was a naked orphan. No place to sleep tonight, no food to eat. I was a naked orphan. And the Creator of this great world said, come, let me adopt you. You see, we have to ask our question. Are we washed in the blood? Jesus was saying that just as you take food and water into your physical body to keep you having physical life, you have to take His flesh and His blood into you spiritually to bring you spiritual life. This is a message of commitment. This is the difference between believing with just your head and believing with your heart. Jesus is talking about receiving Him into your innermost being, a change of heart. Are we really converted? It's easy to agree to be baptized. But do we really give Jesus our heart? It's easy to believe a certain number of facts that the elders share with us. But do we give Jesus our heart? It's easy to sing a song. It's easy to word a prayer. But do we give Jesus our heart? You see, there's a difference in saying believing in Jesus and believing on Jesus. Even the demons believe in Jesus. But when we talk about believing on Jesus, we're talking about making a commitment. And this group that enjoyed the bread and the fish that Jesus provided, were not ready to make a commitment. They were not ready to become His disciples. As long as He was working miracles, as long as He was feeding them, they were fine with that. But once He asked for their heart, once He asked for their life, then many of them turned away. They didn't get the message in Jesus' days. And sadly, there's some today that don't get the message. See, this was not cannibalism. Everything was symbolic. In just a moment, we're going to open those little packages and we're going to eat a little piece of bread. Now, if you came here and you were hungry, that's not going to be enough bread to fill up your stomach. If you're thirsty, that's not going to be enough juice to quench your thirst. You see, that's physical. Jesus is saying this bread and this juice is symbolic. This represents who Jesus is. And so you don't just gulp it down, swallow that juice real quick and say, hurry up, watch the clock, let's get out of here. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 says, let a man examine himself. Now you see, if I were to give everybody here that knows me a sheet of paper and say, now write down all of Bob's faults, you might say, could I have a second sheet of paper? It's easy for me to see your faults and you to see my faults. But do we ever see our own faults? And when we're getting ready to come to the table of Jesus, Paul says, examine yourself. Now, we may see something that needs to be confessed, that needs to be cleaned up. When we were kids, we occasionally had to go to bed without supper because we did something that was bad. When we come to Jesus, seeing ourselves having sinned, we're sorry, we're ashamed, and we're ready to repent of that. And Jesus is ready to give us forgiveness and restoration. Now, I've been trying to preach for 53 years. And one of the things that disturbs me is that sometimes I'll be visiting somewhere, maybe in a gospel meeting, and then somebody notices, well, brother so-and-so didn't eat the Lord's Supper today. Or sister so-and-so just pass the plate on. And she didn't take the bread. She didn't take the juice. And later, when you talk to the people, they say, well, I just don't feel worthy. May I say this as strongly as I know how? None of us are worthy. But if we've trusted Christ, even when we fail, when we sin, if we repented, God forgave us, and we're eligible. I come to the table and I eat the bread and the juice not because of how wonderful I am, but because of how wonderful Jesus was. That He said, you feel like a broken egg, I'll just take all the pieces and put you back together again. And so we need to think about that when we come to the table. The psalmist said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. We need a good appetite. Now what if one of the ladies here were to invite me to a big meal at her house, but before I go, I drink a carton of Coca-Cola and eat a box of Twinkies and a dozen donuts and a bag of potato chips, and then I get to her house and say, well, I'm not hungry. I mean, she's worked hard. She's prepared this wonderful, delicious meal. But you see, I've been eating junk food. And sadly, I believe that many people do that in their spiritual life. Do you run on full or on empty? We are in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. That verse gives me a lot of comfort, because I have a lot. Well, Bob, what about these people in the jungles in Africa that have, there's not a church anywhere near them? Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, somehow, I don't know how. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but I believe that God used me a couple of times. I was, as soon as communism fell in Eastern Europe, I took off to Hungary and Romania. And I met a soldier there that didn't have a Bible. He said he had always wanted one. He had always heard about Jesus. And I gave him a Bible. I later met a high school girl that was with the English class on a picnic. And they invited me to the high school to talk about Jesus. You see, all I know is what Jesus said. Anybody, anywhere that hungers and thirsts, God will see that they get filled. But you see, here in Louisville, Kentucky, we don't have to worry about being hungry, do we? Physically. But there are some people in Jefferson County that are hungry spiritually. While we're dining, we need to be patient. In a marketing class at the university, they said that McDonald's and Burger King tries to have uncomfortable seats so you eat and hurry up and leave. Because if you get too comfortable, you'll just sit there and stay because you're thinking only of the physical. I hate to admit it, but if I'm going to be honest with you this morning, there are times in my years of preaching that I preached the sermon and maybe went 5 minutes longer than I thought I should. And so I want to hurry up with the Lord's Supper. Have you ever felt that? Let's hurry and let's get out of here. When we come to the table, our spiritual meal should be the focus of why we're here. I appreciate the elders giving me the opportunity to stand in this pulpit today, and I'll have a short sermon then next. But our purpose for coming is for this meal that we're getting ready to eat. Are we in harmony? There are many families that get together for a meal. They're looking forward to that ham or that turkey or that meatloaf or whatever it is, and then they get into some heavy discussions. They get to fussing and arguing about basketball games and football games and about politics, and before you know it, there's arguments. And before you know it, the meal has been ruined. Paul points out that we're supposed to be one body. We partake of one bread. We don't have to agree on everything, but we need to focus on Christ. And what unites us is far greater than what divides us. Do we all love Jesus today? Are we grateful? The Bible says that Jesus gave thanks when He was in the upper room, when He was going to take the leftovers of the Passover meal and then institute the Lord's Supper. It said that Jesus gave thanks. And then finally, do we have purpose? Do we have purpose? It's like calories in your body. You take them in and then you burn them up. You take the gospel, apply it to your life, and say, now let me go and let me share it. Jesus said, you look back, and then you look forward. You look back, and you think about that death on the cross. You look forward, and through the spiritual eye, you see heaven. Are you homesick for heaven? Do you really want to go? Do you love Jesus? Are you going to remember what He did for you? When we eat this bread and drink this cup.